Hello, welcome to the Book Club Haters Book Club.
A podcast where we discuss the books we love and otherwise. I'm Noor.
I'm one of your hosts. Oh, what's happening? Yeah, again. She's Noor. I'm Tia.
Yeah.
Yep, and we're back.
I think like this is like the most consistent we've been, or maybe like because we took a break for like last year.
We were consistent for a while before I left.
Oh, that's true, right? Yeah.
How we dare had, like, you?
A break for like a month or so, and then
yeah,
another break,
and yeah, then another break, and then another break. That's yeah, okay. This is yeah, fun, though.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it's a commitment.
Sure, a commitment to each other.
It is, though.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. How's your reading for the past month? See, you've been busy.
Not much, actually. I think I've only read like 4 books, but like not really. Yeah, not much. But and I haven't really like, I don't know, without much focus, I would say. But like one of my books that I kind of really want to tell you about is Anti-Diet by Christy Harrison.
Okay, it's, tell me.
Yeah, I listened to it on audiobook. I'm not finished yet because it's pretty heavy, I would say. But it's
how long? Wait, how long is the recording?
The audiobook? Hold on, let me just check. Oh god. I have absolutely no idea. How do I check? Player rate settings? How do I check?
You Google it.
How oh, you shoot, check it. That's so smart.
I think it's really not that smart.
Yeah, it means like I'm I don't know, I'm slow audiobook.
You're functioning on a different level today.
Yeah, that's true. 9 hours and 46 minutes.
Yikes.
Pretty dang long. I think I listened like kind of during dinner or like while I'm making dinner or on my commute. I used to have a longer commute, but now my commute has been like drastically shortened to 10 minutes. So I don't have time to listen to anything.
Which means you can listen to it in the bathroom while you get ready.
Oh my god, I have like something to tell you about that habit. Apparently, you're not supposed to listen to stuff in the bathroom. Like, you're not supposed to sing in the bathroom because like jinn might be attracted to you.
You know what? I really thought when you said, "Oh my god, I have to tell you something." There's like a scientific reason. No. But like halfway through your sentence, I knew you were going to say something about jinns.
It's very on brand of me.
Did you just know about that?
I knew about the singing, but I didn't know about the listening.
Yeah, my parents, they taught us while we were growing up to never respond if you're in the bathroom, but I always do. I mean, if someone's gonna walk in on you, right, you have to make a sound one way or another.
Exactly. Gosh, yeah. But anyway,
also, well, since we're on the subject of gins, you know, I don't know if we discussed this in the last podcast or we had this discussion privately. I remember telling you that my sister believes that the reason why you wake up at 3 in the morning, if it's you wake up at night,
the gin took a turn.
Yeah, it's like there's a shift in gin world or whatever. There's a scientific reason for it.
Oh, apparently. Tell me, because I always wake up these days. I think in the past 3 weeks, I've woken up at exactly 4:30. Yeah, I'm like, what the heck's going on?
Only meant that is the call of prayers. Okay.
No, 4:30 not yet.
Yeah, then before that you can smell hajat and stuff lah.
So like my body's like, pray, child.
Yeah, I don't know. But no, but the reason is because, you know, when you're asleep for 8 hours, for instance, you're not always asleep throughout the whole duration of 8 hours. You're kind of awake. And then when the time when you wake up, people usually often wake up like their eye movement, that time when you're awake but still asleep kind of thing. That's usually between the time of 2 to 3:30.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Yeah. So it's just basically like, you know, you're not supposed to go into deep sleep over, I think, over 30 minutes at one go. If that's wild. The case, you're probably in a coma or something. I don't know if it's 20 minutes, it's probably longer. Yeah, so the longest you can probably have, like, genuine deep sleep, maximum per night apparently is just an hour deep sleep. Then you just keep having deep sleep over and over again. An hour? Oh, okay. I don't really know. Like, yeah, that's, I was checking my sleep and stuff. Yeah, you don't really go on deep sleep. You have, like, the rapid eye movement. That's when, like, what sleep is. That's, like, before you go into a deep sleep. Hmm. So the moment when you're awake is probably, like, halfway between you having to wake up in the morning and between that time and then when you fell asleep the night before. So around 3 o'clock, when you're, you know, the awake stage of the sleeping, instead of, like, being only partly awake, you're awake fully.
So, like, it's my body's fault for, like, not...
It's probably not Jen's.
Not staying... Not asleep? What? Not staying... Not... Hold on. I don't know. So, it's my body's fault that it's not going back into, like, that process of going back to deep sleep.
You can go back into a deep sleep, because usually for me, I can't believe we're talking about sleep.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah. Okay, so for me, when I wake up, if I wake up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, that's an awake period, but I can still go back to sleep around, like, 3:30 and stuff. Because if your body decides to just wake up instead of being in that awake stage, that's just, like, between sleep and awake, it probably means your body is trying to tell you something, like a distraction in your psychology, or the room is hot or whatever. Stop it. Tell me about this anti-diet book.
Okay. So it's a book that talks about the harmful effects of diet culture, and it tells you kind of the strategies in how to reclaim your life, quote unquote, from the from obsessing over food. It's kind of like it talks about intuitive eating. Do you know about it?
Yeah.
Like the philosophy that tackles your relationship with food. Instead of,
tell people what intuitive eating is. I know,
okay,
what it,
like,
is.
Other, like, I'm telling you that, okay, intuitive eating is basically a philosophy that tackles your relationship with food. From obsessing over food, feeling guilty or feeling bad and shame over your food intake or towards food, to a more neutral outlook and trusting your body that, you know, like, and giving yourself unconditional permission to eat. Right. And I think, like, the book is really good in showing, like, how exactly, like, diet culture really, really fucks us up.
In terms, you know,
of
what?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I cut you off?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like what you're describing with this book is what Eat Up should have been.
I totally agree. I actually had this thought when I was listening to this. I was like, man, this is what I wanted Eat Up to have been. Like, or I want them to, like, to discuss how eating, like, how our culture talks about eating, how our culture kind of, like, encourages us how we eat. And this book is really good in telling us, like, hey, you know what? Diet culture is so harmful that it, like, it affects not only just yourself, but it actually affects everything around you. Like, from our clothes, to our statistics, to, like,
to your relationships.
Yeah, to your relationships and everything. And it's, like, it's pretty amazing. Like, I didn't know that statistics for obesity was kind of, it used to be that, like, the range for obesity was different. And then for some reason, the WHO just changed it to lower the range, as in, like, made the numbers smaller. Does that make sense? And then suddenly
the chance of you being obesity is
suddenly higher. And then, like, suddenly like overnight, millions and millions and millions of people suddenly became obese. And
yeah, okay.
Yeah. yeah, it's kind of like, it kind of blew my mind. And also the fact that BMI, I know you've talked about this before in your like Sunken Alliance article, and the BMI isn't an accurate description. Like, it doesn't really tell you like whether or not someone's healthy or not. It just tells you your BMI, and that's it. And like, it's not even, it wasn't even like created by an actual like health
scientist
doctor. Wild.
Also, I remember talking about BMI with somebody a few weeks ago, and I was telling them, BMI is a very arbitrary thing. Like, it, in the modern world, a lot of countries have scraped that as an indication of whether you're healthy or not. Mm-hmm. And this person, because they're from Singapore, was very insistent that the BMI is a valid thing. And I was like, no, it isn't. You're saying that because you're thin. You're not saying that because you are very severely underweight, or if you're overweight, because more people fall in the overweight category because, again, like you said, the notion of obesity has been lowered, as opposed to like a very drastic, I don't know, over 100 kilos kind of thing.
True.
I don't know.
And it's like sometimes I feel like the when you're either you're within the normal range or within the underweight range, you're like kind of it's a way for diet culture to also like reward you. You're like, hey, you're doing great because you're in this category and you're not in this category. But in actuality, like, it doesn't really tell you the full details of your personal health, because even though you're like normal, wherever you are on the BMI scale, you can always you are always susceptible to eating disorders or disorder eating, and like,
or getting sick
or like, however, you know, your body is just yours, and it's like you cannot apply a general standard to it. I would say, and it the book really tackles this really well, and like how I kind of like saw it opened my eyes to the different ways that not just the different ways, it's like the really super subtle ways that we've kind of fucked up our relationships towards food.
Like, food in for different culture are very different things. But then, like, this Western notion of what BMI is or diet culture starts seeping into different societies. Suddenly there's, like, this standard of what is seen as right. And, like, on Instagram, like, on my Discover page, there's constantly people talking about the kind of, like, what's good food, what's, like, what's bad food, or what's...
Right. And yeah, it's like the wellness trend. Is really just like the leader of that. I want to say propaganda, honestly.
No, I think you're right. Like, there's also this notion of you have to eat healthy. But the thing is that eating healthy is very expensive in a lot of societies. Like, in Australia, it can be cheap to do it. But also, like you can, it can be cheap for you to eat healthy because vegetables are quite cheap. But spices are very expensive. Yeah, so even if you're like, oh, actually, no, veggies are really cheap. What, you just want me to boil it with salt, is it? That's really gross.
Yeah.
I'll get a fucking McDonald's.
And then I get really, like, peeved off by Instagram. Even, like, the local food blogs, or there were, like, the brands that, like, sell food. They're always like, oh, this is so much healthier for you. But the stuff they sell, like, the kinds of food that they sell is, like, avocado, kale. It's stuff that, you know, that isn't locally found, and, like, it's not locally grown. And it's,
so, like a lot of carbon footprint.
Yeah, that. And also, like, it reduces access. Like, not a lot of people can access that kind of food. And it also, like, oh, so this is the only... I hate the term superfoods because it's such a marketing lie. Because, like anything is a superfood. Rice is a superfood. But for some reason, rice is not called a superfood by the white people or the Western world. Because they don't eat
it. Yeah, white rice, they say, is bad.
Yeah, white rice.
Yeah. Oh, listen to you. You're really frustrated.
I am. I think because, like, you know, I listened to this when, like, making my food, and I was like, oh, God, I'm so angry. Like, how could I have, I can't believe that this stuff has just affected the way that I eat. Like, I really love food. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like something that people associate me with is like my love of mm-hmm. food. And I feel like over the years that love has been really dampened by how people, when I was thinner, like in a smaller body, I had like people were like, oh, you're so like, they find my love of food like really quirky and like really quote necessary because I was thin and like I needed to like gain weight. But then I did gain weight because of metabolism issues and like age and whatever. And then they kind of just stopped saying that, you know, they said like, oh, you're eating so much, like too much suddenly, though I was eating the same amount of food. So it's kind of like, it makes me feel sad somehow that like I ended up from like really appreciating the food that I eat to like feeling guilt and shame over liking, you know, eating like a second serving of rice because I'm hungry and I love rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like people don't realize that if you're going to increase your intake, it probably doesn't mean that you're doing it. People don't eat because they want to get fat. I know some people do, but like people don't eat a lot intentionally because they're like, oh, I want to gain weight, I want to look fat or whatever. They're eating because they're hungry. They're eating because the food is good. What is wrong in indulging in something's good in a world that is so fucked up?
Yeah. And it's like, it really makes me think about like how restriction leads to binging and how like restriction leads to obsession. Like when you kind of restrict, say like I kind of like stopped myself from eating snacks, like from the Oreos and stuff. And to the point where I was like, no, if I have snacks in my house, that means that I'm gonna like eat the shit out of them. Like I will eat 10 packs in one go. But it actually like, and it's so funny because like the more I restrict myself, the second that I like get my hands on like Oreos or something, I'm like, of course, yeah, I binge because. Because
they're so good.
They're so, one, they're good. And then, like, I binge to the point where I get sick of it.
Yeah.
So it's instead of making me happy, you know, this delicious stuff, it makes me feel really bad about myself. So.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, unconditional intuitive eating that says, like, you can eat whatever you want whenever you want. It's not that you, just because you can eat something, like, you know, it's like listening to your body. I know I can have this. Restriction says that you can have this now, but you cannot have it later. But unconditional permission says you can have this now, but hey, you can also have it later. That's fine too. And that really curbs the urges to binge.
So I joined a gym, right? And then like, I call it a gym. We call it a dojang la. And I have always been a bit intimidated when it comes to like that kind of sports environment where people are constantly exercising and stuff like that, because I'm most under the impression that they eat very healthy. And it's not just that, our instructor emails us every so often, like, these are the meal plans that you can follow for this month, etc. And like he'll give advices on what you can or cannot eat, or what you should or should not eat, or limit yourself. Like, stuff like that. Like the usual health, obsessive, exercise more, eat less, eat healthy kind of thing. And then a few weeks ago, I went out with people for my sword class. And I really thought that they were going to be very obsessive about what they were eating. But they were not. They did not restrict themselves. Like, some of them went from having, like, fried food and also, like, one of them had chicken wings and then pizza and then like later ice cream and stuff like that. And they're like, yeah, the food here is really good. Why would you want to restrict yourself from doing that? I exercised 2 hours earlier. Why should I restrict myself from enjoying this with my friends? Like, for them, this like, there's also the food culture where we're sharing food with each other, which was really nice because like, you can see like there are certain gyms in Brunei Laha where you see like the very, very muscly guys and stuff in as the face of that gym. And they're drinking like protein shakes and shit like that. But people from my dojang are like, we drink water. Maybe we'll get McDonald's after this. Like, you know. And yeah, like yesterday was, and what was funny was one of my friends, Connie, she I tweeted this. She has been doing BJJ for the past few months. And then while we were walking to our cars, she was telling me, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the one where you grapple on the ground, like you get really, really close to somebody.
Nice.
It's really big in Brunei. So she's been doing BJJ for the past few months. And then she was telling me, I'm actually trying to avoid going to BJJ. And I asked her why. And she said, because every time I go to a class, I get really, really hungry, which means I eat more. And she said, I don't mind about eating more. The problem is I can't fit into my clothes anymore. And I don't want to spend money on new clothes. And like, I get that. I get her reason is that I don't want to waste money on resources. I don't want to because, you know, I got fat. And then she's like, clothes are expensive here. And then like afterwards, after we finish, and like a few minutes after I asked her, like, Connie, where are you going now? And she's like, I have a self-defense class in an hour's time, but I think I'm going to go to McDonald's and think about my life. And she just went to McDonald's. Like, I saw her going to McDonald's in front of me. She's like, everyone's like, they're not going to restrict what they eat because they're exercising. And like, the dojang is really, really warm. So people are sweating all the time. Mm. You're like, yeah, why would you want to restrict yourself? Like, you go to the dojang and it's really fun. And why not have fun with food afterwards?
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a mindset that's kind of foreign, I think, to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think, like, if you're in Brunei, especially when you grew up here, it's like, it's a mindset that's like, you either love food or, like, you love exercise and hate food.
You know what I don't get about Brunei? When you're a child, your parents just feed you whatever shit and then, like, you gain weight and they're like, lose all that weight that you gain from my responsibility.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Where they're as like, a caretaker. Oh, this child, it's their fault. When, you know, adults put food into that child's mouth.
Yeah. I remember when I was, like, in primary tree, I was diagnosed as obese from the school nurse. And then I was asked to go to a clinic like once a month so they can check on my weight every single month to see if I was gaining or not. And like, it wasn't just me. There were like a few kids who were overweight who had to undergo that. And I don't understand what they were trying to do exactly. Were they trying to not make us overweight? And then this is like one of my fondest memory of me as a child. The nurse was telling me you need to eat more fruits. And at that age, I didn't really like eating fruits that much. And I was like, okay. And then I turned to my dad and I told my dad, boleh tanya beli durian?
Yes. Durian is a fruit. The greatest fruit of all.
But you know what? The nurse said, no, you cannot eat durian.
But it's fruit, what?
Exactly. She's like, the cholesterol is really high, blah, blah, blah. But like, if you look at some Western culture now, they do consider durian as a superfood in one way or another, Lord. Despite the fact they don't like the smell. But it has a lot of, I don't know, nutrition too, because it's a fruit, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so weird.
So what is like the right fruit?
An apple, a pear, I guess. God, white people fruit.
White people fruit. It is interesting. But no, because they're always like, tarap is like so like fatty and like whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, tarap is so good though. Like,
is it really though?
I don't
want
to eat like tarap.
Yeah, is it really fatty?
It tastes very lamak, right?
That's the thing I wonder. Are they saying it's fatty because it tastes indulgent? But is it really fatty?
I think so. But that's why I think, like, you know how, like, apples, they taste very kind of, like, fresh.
Crisp and fresh.
And all that shit. Jizz, jazz, whatever.
All that jizz? Gross! Is jizz healthy?
I want to say jazz. I want to say shit and jazz. So, like, you know.
Okay, shits and jizzles. Okay, anyway.
So I guess that's the difference. That's the issue, I think, also with what kind of materials we're exposed to, as opposed to like what's healthy and what's not, where the studies aren't done using our kinds of food.
Mm. I remember someone telling me the red rice that you find from, is it Temburong or Tutong, is probably really fatty. And I'm like, I don't understand how, I don't know. I also had a conversation with somebody recently about how they're like, I'm going to get married and I need to start eating clean food. And I'm like, what is your definition of clean food? No such food is dirty. If you're a Muslim, you should be under the impression that all food is rizuki and all food is good.
Yes, I totally agree.
Which just makes no fucking sense to me. Anyway, can I talk about the book later, that I read?
Like, yeah, you should, because it's 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, I want to move this on. So I read this book that I actually had a discussion with you that we should try reading it for the book club. And we were supposed to read it for this month, and then we ended up not doing it. But I read a book called Bones and All by Camille DeAngelis. Uh-huh. It's so good. I don't know. It's
what is it about?
It's about a girl who eats humans.
What the fuck?
I gave you this book and you were like, hey, it sounds really interesting.
Again, maybe it was during my crisis mode where I don't remember.
Probably. Okay. So this book, oh God, did I write? Okay. This book is about a character called Marin. And every time she has sexual urges or she is given any form of affection or she's affectionate towards somebody, she eats them.
Aha. Uh-huh. Like eating your emotions.
I guess so. Oh, we're talking about eating again. Okay, nice. Yeah, so she eats them, and then she's been doing it since she was a baby, and then she's only had a handful of people that she's eaten, and then the first person that she ate was her babysitter, because her babysitter was super affectionate towards her, and then her mother just came into the house and saw like Marin having blood all over her clothes and her mouth. So every time she... It doesn't say, it just eats them. Yeah.
Okay.
So, as time progresses, she starts eating boys who shows any sort of affection towards her. And then her mom eventually, in her teenage years, in Marin's teenage years, decided to just leave Marin because she can't stand moving constantly from one place to another every time Marin eats somebody, which is a thing they don't have to do, because they would not, like, police would not have suspected that this girl ate these boys. And eventually Marin just start going around the U.S. on herself, trying to find her father, trying to figure out why she has this ability, this hunger to just eat people. Mm-hmm. And then she came across people who has the same ability as her, and some of them eat for very different reasons. Like, she met one person who eats people because those individuals treat people terribly.
Uh-huh.
So as a revenge kind of thing, like, oh, if your ulah is sial, I'm gonna eat you kind of thing lah. And she meets another person who just eats just because, which is really sick. But like, I think for Marin's story, it's more about sexual desires and how having desires make women monstrous. Ooh. So she eats those. Yeah, that's the metaphor. And it took me a really, really long time to figure out the metaphor, because I'm like, there's a metaphor here, but I don't know what it is. And she doesn't know how to be friends with girls, which really kind of shows, like, I think that's where it hit me, where, you know, her whatever disability that she has is about sexual desire.
Because she doesn't desire girls.
Mm. Yeah, she find it really hard to talk to girls. But again, I feel like if you have a life like that, you're probably gonna end up being a bit of an introvert, right? So I really like it, but like the rating on Goodreads not that great, but I super enjoy this book. Like, it's slightly sick and it's so twisted, and I really enjoyed it because it's so engrossing. And I don't know, it's weird, because I felt like it was so refreshing to read something so taboo and yet so different and gripping at the same time.
How long is it?
It's super short. I think it might be a YA book, actually. It is,
it
probably
sounds YA.
Yeah. So I would recommend it, but you do, at some point, you do kind of feel a bit sick reading it, I think, if
it's pretty squeamish. Gory?
She doesn't describe every time she eats people, but there is one point where she was looking at somebody eating another person, and she made, like, there were a little tidbit details on it.
Yikes. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, it's a horror. So, which is not something I usually read, which is cool.
That's so interesting, actually. I don't know, recently, is it a trend? Because I think I saw like another book about either murder or about a girl also like that murders her love interests.
Is it the one that, maybe because I told you what it is? Is this the book?
I don't know. No, maybe. No, actually, I saw it on my Goodreads recommendations.
This book is from 2015, so I don't really know if it's trendy or not. Yeah.
Coincidence.
Yeah. Do you want to? What's our next? What do we do next?
I think we do genre talk next.
Okay, let's go do genre talk.
Welcome to genre talk.
Welcome. We don't have a discussion for genre talk.
But we will take a quiz.
Yeah, the personality quiz called Which Woman from Classic Literature Are You? By Taylor Swift 2006. Taylor Swift did this. This Taylor is Swift Taylor is a Swift.
Woman of many talents.
Their finest work. Good for her. She's super talented. Maybe, I don't know. Don't know how I feel about her. Do you want to start the quiz?
Sure, yeah. I've already entered my name, so, you know.
I have entered my name, too. Question 1 of 14. Pick a rose. Answer, please choose one. 1, coral rose, friendship and sympathy. 2, white rose, innocence, a fresh start. 3, yellow rose, jealousy, infidelity. 4, red rose, love. 5, pink rose, happiness, gentleness. 6, orange rose, desire and enthusiasm.
I feel like I love orange roses, but I love the... I love the description of the orange rose, which says desire and enthusiasm. But I really like the look of red roses. So what would you choose if you like the description, but you don't like the color?
Let me think. I have a lot of red roses at home, which I don't really like. I'm not a big fan of roses, to be honest.
No roses.
I like the look of... Yeah. I like the look of coral roses, but I like the description of desire and enthusiasm for orange rose.
Exactly.
But I do also like orange rose. So I will pick orange rose.
Okay, so maybe I'll choose... Man, I feel like this says a lot about somebody. Not a lot, but like it does say something about somebody where they're like, do you like the look of it or do you like the meaning of it?
I don't know. I picked that because I just had therapy 2 weeks ago.
Okay. I don't know what that means. Like,
I talked to you about this, but never mind. You were probably in a crisis that you forgot.
Okay. Next.
Wait, what did you pick?
I picked orange for the description.
Okay. Next.
Choose a cute fictional bear. What the fuck?
Choose a cute fictional bear. 1, Yogi Bear.
2, Little John.
3, Baloo.
4, Corduroy.
5, Winnie the Pooh.
6, Paddington.
7, Teddy Ruxpin. Is it Teddy Ruxpin? Yeah, I don't know.
Who's
Who are you picking?
I picked.
You know my answer. You know my answer.
I actually don't know. Oh, Paddington. Yeah.
Yeah. Hells yeah. My okay. favorite.
Next.
If you have Netflix, go watch Paddington the films, please. It's the best movies. Choose a movie released in 2009. Wow. Taylor Swift is super. It's 2019. Taylor Swift is very, very on the nose. Yeah. 1, Booksmart.
2, Frozen 2.
3, It Chapter 2.
4, Just Mercy.
5, Jojo Rabbit.
6, Little Women.
7, Parasite.
The final one, 8, is Captain Marvel.
How many of these have you watched?
2.
Same. Which one did you watch?
I watched Frozen 2 and Captain Marvel.
I watched Jojo Rabbit and Captain Marvel. I also didn't realize Captain Marvel was last year. I thought it was like 4 years ago.
Oh wow, it was last year, wasn't right? it? It feels like it was like into 2018 or something. Okay. Yeah. 2019 kind of went past.
It was nuts. Yeah, I'm supposed to watch Parasite later, but I don't feel well, so I'm not gonna watch Parasite later. I'm picking Captain Marvel, I think.
Oh god, I'm still obsessed with Frozen 2, so I think I'm gonna pick that.
Well, how very interesting. I did not know that about you, that you're obsessed with Frozen 2.
I really love the songs. They're so catchy.
That's nice to know.
Yeah.
Question 4. Choose a book series you were unreasonably obsessed with as a child / preteen. 1. Charlotte's Web by E.B. White.
2. Percy Jackson and the Olympians by Rick Riordan.
3. The Hunger Games by Susan Collins.
4. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll.
5. Maximum Ride by James Patterson.
6. Little House on the Prairie by Laura Ingalls Wilder?
Maybe. 7. Madeline by Ludwig Bemelmans.
8. A Series of Unfortunate Events by Lemony Snicket.
7. The Secret Garden by Frances Burnett.
8. Oh, wait. It's 8, right?
I don't know.
I think it's 8.
Maybe.
The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis.
Actually, you're number 10, na, babe.
Yeah, girl. Oh, my bad.
11. Yeah, but my bad. I think I might have set 7. I don't know. 11. End of Green Gables by L.M. Montgomery.
12. Twilight, which does not need... Yeah, doesn't have, like, an author name because it's so...
iconic.
Prolific. So iconic.
The last one is Divergent by Veronica Roth.
Dang.
Any comments on this? Like, you're obsessed with as a child / preteen.
Unreasonably?
Most of these...
Okay, dude, like, unreasonably. These are, like, some of these are reasonably good books.
Hey, how dare you shit on Twilight before we even had this discussion?
I said some, okay?
Yeah. Hey, you know, like, I was obsessed with, like, some of these, but not as a child and a preteen. I was, like... A full-fledged adult.
Oh, okay.
No. I was like in my 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to answer Twilight.
I'm going to answer Percy Jackson. I think I was like, not preteens either. Because I don't know what I read in my
preteens. I think
you were
like 17 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was probably like 15 for me, Percy Jackson.
Okay. That's not preteen either.
That's teen.
Why is Harry Potter not here?
Hmm. Oh, that's true. Weird.
A millennial who wrote this.
You're a millennial.
Okay. No, the person who wrote this quiz is a millennial.
Yeah, but like, okay. Never mind. Next, question 5. Choose a modern reimagining of a classic story. Option 1, Bridget Jones' Diary.
2, 10 Things I Hate About You.
3, Clueless.
4, She's the Man.
5, The Lion King. Hmm.
I'm answering She's the Man. It's a great film.
I do agree, but I love Clueless. It's Emma, and I love it. I don't know. I didn't know that 10 Things I Hate About You was a reimagining.
Yeah, it is. From... I can't remember what it is. 10 Things I Hate About You reimagining. It's a... I don't know. Oh, it's from Taming of the Shrew. Yeah, Shakespeare.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, so okay. I do like
you don't movie. Know anything about Shakespeare?
No, yeah, I literally don't. So
okay. Choose a lyric from a Taylor Swift song that resonates with you.
True. Oh my god, she's like self-inserting herself, you know?
She's like, I need to do promos for my album. And there's like so many options. I don't have time for this.
Like,
okay, I'm not gonna read all of them. Let's just pick. Like, let's just read it in our head.
Okay.
And
this is like a lot.
Pick which one, which resonates with you.
Oh gosh.
Oh my god.
I don't even know which songs these are from.
It doesn't matter. Just pick what resonates with you.
I know, but still, you know, it would be nice to know.
You can, I don't know, Google it, A to Z lyrics. Have you picked any?
It's so hard. Okay. I guess.
How is it hard? No. It's Taylor Swift.
I don't know. It's so hard. Like, nothing resonates with me. That's why it's hard.
I just hantam la. Like, I don't know. I'm picking this one. It's they're burning all the witches, even if you aren't one. So light me up. I just like the idea of witches being burned.
I just picked I'm not a princess, this ain't a fairy tale. I'm gonna find someone someday who might actually treat me well.
Whoa.
Does that say something about me? I don't know. Probably not. I don't
really. No.
No.
I hope not.
Next.
Choose your favorite time of the day. Late morning.
I would say dawn.
Hey. You're supposed to read the options.
Oh, sorry. noon.
Late afternoon.
Midnight.
Dusk.
Dawn. I like dawn.
Dusk is morning, right?
Yeah.
I like dusk.
And no, dusk is not morning. Dusk is sunset.
I actually quite like that too. Okay. Oh,
how's
my God.
How's the sunsets in, like, Australia? Gotta ask.
It's nice.
Fair.
It's not like Brunei. Like, Brunei has a lot of colors in the sky. Mm. Like, you can see pinks and purples and stuff. But here, it's blue and orange, which is quite nice, too.
Mm. Nice.
Choose an American Girl doll moment.
What's an American Girl doll? What? This is so American-centric.
And also, it's taking us ages to do this dumb quiz. I don't think we should even do question time.
God. That's a lot. I don't know any of these. Okay, whatever.
No, you can just read the description, I guess. So, sure. The first option is Felicity. A 9-year-old understands the perils of alcoholism and make it her business.
Wild. Kit makes a scooter out of orange boxes during the Great Depression and reserves room for her dog.
Josephina comes with unremovable hoop earrings.
Samantha ends child labor when she meets a poor person for the first time.
Molly tap dances to end World War II.
Kaya hates the name Magpie. That's like the most mild thing.
Oh my
thing.
God, this is...
I guess the child labor
I'm going to pick Felicity, who understands the perils of alcoholism and makes it her business.
I like the child labor one, the Samantha.
Awesome. Oh, God, what the hell? Do you like Lord?
Half and half?
Okay. Choose a Lord song. One, Bravado.
Two, these are lots of songs. Are we going to say them all out?
Yeah, just say them all out. It's short names.
Fine. Royals.
White Teeth Teens.
Perfect Places.
Ribs.
Liability.
Green Light.
Writer in the Dark.
Yellow Flicker Beat.
The Love Club.
Team.
400 Lux.
Homemade Dynamite.
I guess I'm listen torn. To Liability the most.
I'm going to pick Yellow Flicker Beat, I think.
I've never heard that one. Cool.
It's a good song. Where is she, anyway?
Still making
she,
music.
What's she doing? What's she doing? Choose a Disney princess you projected onto. One, Elsa. Is that your choice?
Two, Pocahontas. No, it's not.
Okay. Three, Aurora.
Four, Snow White.
Five, Rapunzel.
Six, Tiana.
Seven, Anna.
Eight, Ariel.
Nine, Belle.
10, Cinderella.
11, Mulan.
12, Moana.
13, Jasmine.
14, Merida.
Mulan!
Yeah, Mulan, man. No, not even like a hesitation.
You know, in my sword class, there's like only a handful. There's like very few. There's like two Asian women, mm-hmm. me included. And every time we do something badass, they're like, "You're channeling Mulan."
Okay.
She's super cute. Choose a guilty pleasure show. 1, The Circle.
2, Law and Order, SVU.
3, Big Brother.
4, The Bachelor.
I don't feel guilty about any of my pleasures.
What number is this one? 6, Dance Moms.
Real Housewives of New York.
I don't feel guilty about any of my pleasures. Never.
I don't watch any of these, and I'm hoping I don't feel guilty about any of my pleasures is not
did you a not, TV show. Or did you not watch The Bachelor?
I did. I watched The Bachelorette.
Oh, The Bachelorette. Okay.
Yeah, but I don't watch it anymore because I'm out when the show's on. Okay. It's so dumb.
Choose a quote from a Greta Gerwig movie.
So long. Okay, just read this in your head and then just, can't believe. I feel like I regret my decision to do this.
This is the worst quiz, I have to say.
I know.
This will never tell me what woman from classical literature I am. This is ridiculous. I just chose, sometimes it's good to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it.
I'll choose the same, I guess. I don't know. I didn't even read the long paragraphs. Choose your zodiac sign. Sure, I'm not going to choose. I know what I am. I'm Capricorn. Oh, you're an Aquarius.
Yeah.
Interesting. Choose a Shakespeare play. Twelfth Night.
Huh. How do you choose when you absolutely don't know any of these? Like,
you hantam la?
Okay. What is this Tempest? That sounds okay.
12th Night, Romeo and Juliet, Othello, Hamlet, As You Like It, The Tempest, Macbeth, Taming of the Shrew. None of these are Shakespeare plays that I like.
Huh, okay. I just chose The Tempest because, I don't know, good title?
I think I like Othello, I don't know. I like that you're like, the title's good.
Oh my god, my result.
Finally, this only took 1,000,000 hours.
Oh god, what'd you get?
Oh, wait, it's still loading.
Oh,
because I didn't press next. What's yours?
I'm really proud of
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift got me down. So it's Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice. And then okay. The description is like, you're headstrong and often don't even realize how stubborn you are. True. It's difficult for you to understand that there can be more than one side to a story. False. And you often make up your mind quickly. True.
Yes. Like you yesterday texting me saying like, what should I do now? I'm like, give it time.
Yeah, apparently. Time is what we need. And then it says, you are extremely intelligent and love the more quiet aspects of life, satisfied to just curl up with a book at the end of the day. Under your quick wits and temper lies a soft heart. Sure.
Oh, I got Jen Eyre. Have you read Jen Eyre?
No.
I have not read Jen Eyre. Yeah. You go after what you want and you create your own terms. True. Though your childhood may have been difficult, not true. Or you may feel unloved sometimes, true. Your self-assurance is unwavering, true. You constantly remain true to yourself and understand that you deserve more than you are sometimes given. I don't know. You are an inspiration to those around you. I'm an inspiration to myself. And people truly admire you. Okay, then. Can we move on? Oh, there's like all... Wait, there's other choices. There's Janie Crawford from The Eyes Were Watching God. Joe Marsh from Little Woman. Boring. Amy March from Little Woman. Boring. Meg March from Little Woman. Boring. Jane Bennett from Pride and Prejudice.
Boring.
Antonia Shimerda from My Antonia. Who?
Jane Bennett. Sorry. She's pretty and she's nice and that's it.
Yeah, that's true. Elizabeth Bennett from Pride and Prejudice. Agnes Grey from Agnes Grey. Estella Havisham from Great Expectation. Edna Pontellier from The Awakening. Emma Woodhouse from Emma. Daisy Buchanan from The Great Gatsby. Basically, the great woman of literature in the white world.
Yeah, basically. Taylor Swift, man. What did you expect?
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, book club.
Oh, finally.
Wow, Gila, that took like 20 minutes.
Oh, boy.
Okay. What's our book club? I forgot.
Our book club for March is Silent in the Grave by Deanna Raeborn, the first book in her... I absolutely don't know what the series is called. So that's
Lady Julia Gray.
That's it. Lady Julia Gray series.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to describe this book? Because I have no idea how to describe it.
Yeah. I absolutely don't know either. Let's look at the book blurb at the back.
Blurb. So it's a book about a lady called Julia Gray and how her husband recently died, only to find out that he might have been murdered.
Dun, dun, and dun.
It's her conquest to find out who the murderer is and to get justice or something.
Yeah, with the help of this detective dude who's like surprisingly super hot. What's his name?
Nicholas Brisbane.
That's it, Nicholas Brisbane.
Yeah. You picked this book. I finished it.
Yeah.
Because you were shitting on me about not finishing books that you picked.
It's the truth, though.
No, you didn't finish like one book.
No.
You didn't finish the Sand book either, the book for January. That's not like.
Last
look at yourself
year,
in the mirror.
Like one.
Did you
two...
count?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But like, I feel like I can count now. But anyway.
Oh God, so shady. What?
Sorry, I was just stretching. My back hurts from sitting too long.
Did you just go anyway, and then you stretch your back?
Yeah. My body demanded okay. a stretch. Anyway, yeah.
Okay, fine.
What did you think of the book?
I'm confused.
It is a very confusing. The language, I feel like, was so hard for me.
Okay, here's where I'm confused, okay? Firstly, like, I finished the book, like, 2 hours ago. That's my dedication towards you.
Appreciate
you,
it.
When... No worries. When it was revealed who the murderer is, it took me a very, very long time trying to figure out who it was because Deanna Raeborn never said the murderer's name until the very last chapter.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought it was Brisbane who killed her husband, Edward.
What?
And it turns out it wasn't.
How did you think that?
Because his... Okay, the murderer is Edward's... Brother, right? Simon, right? It didn't say it was Simon. Did I miss it?
No, it didn't say that it was Simon, but it wasn't on the page, but like she confronted him and I was like,
yeah.
But there were clues where with the ceremonies.
What ceremony?
You remember like the sister, initially the sister was like, oh, there's this like cabal of like gentlemen who drink from like virgin skulls or something, and then I was like,
oh my god,
okay, I see what you're doing. And then I was like, and then like it cannot be Nicholas Brisbane because he's not a peer, like those, he's not a sir or anything or lord, so he cannot be in that cabal, you know.
I don't know because I don't know what a cabal is. I also don't understand
like a cult,
the
you know?
Notion of sirs or lords.
Because like this Julia's sister said told her the story of this like cult of like men of gentlemen who do weird rituals and stuff, right?
Wait, so who had sex with who that made him want to murder Edward? Because that's what it is, right?
Okay, it's a lot so Edward and Simon have an ancestral sexual relationship and romantic. What? You did not catch that?
No, I really didn't get it. I read it and I was like, because, okay, she didn't say the name. And then for the first half of that chapter, when the revelation happened, Julia was talking about, this is the person I kissed, this is the person I kissed, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wait, so Brisbane is the murderer?
Oh, right, okay.
I was super confused. Until the very end.
And then you
realize. At the very end of the chapter.
Simon.
When she fell and it was Brisbane. She fainted and then she fell into Brisbane, who just appeared out of nowhere. And I was like, wait a minute. So he's the murderer and the savior. And then it only took me like the next chapter to realize. I should have like reread it, I guess, lah. But I was also in a rush.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. But it thank you for clarifying. It took me a while
too, like to kind of like get into the groove of how she told the story.
Mm.
Because I think like throughout the book, Julia was in, especially in the beginning, she was kind of like in this like cloud, in this like super foggy mindset. And then, like, towards, like...
Because, okay, the first half made way more sense to me. Because it was... The language was just so much easier to read. But then when I... As she became more confident, I guess, after the trauma of her husband dying passed on, I was like...
Then her mind cleared this is out getting, and, like, she could...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she could handle more complicated things, I would say.
She could, but I couldn't.
Oh, same, girl. I was like, oh, God, I gotta reread this. I reread. And that was, like, when I kind of picked up more on the clues that she, Deanna Rayburn was, like, sprinkling around. I was like, oh, my God.
Mm.
Wait, is it the maid? No. Is it the butler? No. Wait, there is poison in this, but why?
I think maybe that's why it's confusing, because also the book is actually quite long.
Is it?
I
honestly like did not notice.
The chapters are super long. And then there's like how many? 40-something chapters? Is it 40-something? 30-something? Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So I feel like I don't think reading through it felt like I was dragging my feet or anything. But the language did kind of turn me off and I was just super confused for most of it. I think the difference between this and the Veronica Speedwell series is that Veronica is not a lady. So yeah. She doesn't have to have that language of like, or, like super the formal
lifestyle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so in whereas that sense, she's like Julia a bit
more modern-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why I like the Veronica Speedwell series so much. But this one, I mean, I don't hate it. I give it 3 stars, mostly because I was just super confused. But I don't think I pick up the other books, which is, you know, sad because for like an hour, I read the third book by accident. Because I bought the wrong book.
The third book is really good, though. Like, if you've read the first two.
Like the first reason, I was like, this book makes no sense to me. Who are these people? Until I realized I bought the wrong book. Like a complete ding dong. Because all the book titles,
the titles are like the same.
Yeah, like what is it? What is it called?
Silent, it's
something in the something.
Silent in the something.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Why did you pick this book? Because you don't know what else to pick?
That, and I actually really enjoy the series, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the series. Like, it hits all of the... You know how Veronica Speedwell, I feel like it appeals to romance novel readers because it has that element of, like, just a bit, like, just enough to reel us in, the romance aspect. But, like, for this one, it really hit the right... romance novel notes where she could, especially the when I first saw that she wrote that there was like she could smell him, I was like, that's it, that's my jam.
Gross.
I'm in this.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Brisbane, to be honest.
He's very mysterious in the first book, and then he kind of like,
yeah,
you literally see more of him and like you learn more about him and why he is how he is, you know,
the way
he is, yeah, as you read more. At first I was like, why him, like I don't understand him as like a romantic hero for Julia, because Julia is kind of really interesting once she gets out of that fog. Like, she mm-hmm. she's pretty dang modern in her thinking and stuff. Though not always.
She's quite... Yeah, she's quite close-minded in a lot of aspects, too, though.
Yeah, yeah. But I feel like I am invested enough in her that I want to see how she grows. Because I feel like there's the promise of her growth. So that keeps me reading.
I see. What else do we talk about?
I don't know. What do really you think short. About the mystery? Do you think it was, like, really interesting? Or, like, the twist? I'm really, like, yeah. I really love suspense. Like, yeah, so this really hit the good parts for me.
I don't really read a lot of mysteries, so I think because it's, for me, it's quite long. I did kind of lose a lot of it. And there's just so many characters and so many names are almost the same that it's super confusing for me to process. I did, however, like Mrs. Birch, who is the lady who cleans corpses before they get buried or something. Yeah. Do you know any Mrs. Birches in your life? Who's just, like, super, super horned up?
No, I think. I don't know. Yeah. Do you?
And, like, no, I don't. Like, Deanna Raeburn is very good at writing very spunky old women who are horny as hell. And, like, it appeals to me because, like, I just have never met any old woman who are like that. Like, she... does it in the Veronica Speedwell series too, like several women also. So I quite like Mrs. Birch a lot.
I think I like the fact that she doesn't like desexualize them.
Yeah, and then like I do kind of enjoy Julia like being shocked from her innocence with those kind of conversations. I also kind of realized that I never really read books where the main characters are men from this era. As in, like, when men socialize with each other, what do they say to each other? Does that make sense to you?
Because really? I thought you read that one book, with the bi hero.
Oh, right. Huh. Right. The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue. Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. That's a YA book, isn't it? I don't know, it's like, because I'm reading this and then there's a lot of women talking to women and they're, like, fine, there are sprinkles of them talking about how hot Brisbane is. But I often wonder, for men, how, like, I kind of just want the perspective of maybe Brisbane or... You kind of, like, with Stoker in Veronica Speedwell is very different because it's quite clear how he is. Mm. But with Brisbane in this book, I do wonder, like, if he meets his male friends and they want to ask him, what do you think of that woman? What does he say?
Right? Yeah, I agree. Like, Brisbane is pretty much a mystery to the readers. And to...
I still kind of don't like him that much because... he is a bit standoffish in some way, and maybe that's just my own personal red flag kind of thing showing up while reading this book. Like, because there's that one time where I think, like, my frustration is that I can't really read how he is. Like, with Stoker and Veronica Speedwell, he's funny and he's not charming. He has, like, sure, he's mysterious with the eye patch and everything, but there's also a lot of personality to him. But with Brisbane, there's not a lot of personality.
He's very closed off. Like, and very closed off.
He's super, yeah. Honestly, the kind of man I'm attracted to, but not in this case.
Yeah. I get you. Like, I was like, how is this guy going to, like, win me over as a reader to believe that he and Lady Julia Grey can be together? Because I don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this book, that's how I feel. Yeah, it does kind of, I think, set me up for, like, okay, so now I need to know how this happens. So that's why I pick up the second book. Not because of the mystery, because, like, but mostly because of that.
Okay, that's fine. Like, you picked that up, but I didn't really, because I think there was nothing really, I don't know, because she didn't really write the kiss. They kissed in the book, and
oh, but it wasn't like Deanna a real, Rayburn, you know, like a.
It what?
Huh? I mean, like it was.
They didn't kiss.
They did kiss.
Huh?
But it was like When did they kiss? Was it when he was like hallucinating or something?
No, when he after he was boxing and. The
oh
gypsy,
my god! Yeah, that
Sussler.
Was so confusing for me. Like,
yeah,
they kissed. Did they kiss?
And nah, I was like, yeah. What? I think that's the thing. She did kind of wrote it off and like really played it off, but it might have been a little bit misleading. And I kind of understand why she was doing the Revelation chapter that way. I don't know. It still confused me.
I get it, because it was like layer and layer and layer of like confusion.
Yeah.
To like
yeah.
make the reader confused. But it was really frustrating for him. It was like, who is the murderer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. I did think it was maybe Nicholas Brisbane wants to kill him. Like, if this was, I'm like, this is a brave choice to take as a writer.
But no, that's true.
What else do you want to say about this book? I don't really have much to say because I haven't
really...
You said
really a lot, so, you know.
Had time to... Oh, I have processed it then. Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to pick up the rest. So
that's fine. I don't really have anything much to say, except I really liked it. I think, like, mm-hmm. I enjoyed the... I stopped at, I think, like, the third book because mm-hmm. That's the book where... I can't tell you, or I can't tell the listeners. But... I stopped then because I've had my fill and I haven't picked up the fourth book yet. So I don't know. I liked it, but I think I'm hungrier, I would say, for Veronica Speedwell.
Yeah. I know, that's the thing. Like Veronica Speedwell is just so exciting, and then her character is so different from Julia Gray in that she's like what I like about Veronica Speedwell is that she's very sure of herself.
Mm.
And with Julia, she's trying to
grow out of the
yeah
the role that she's been put into.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
and that's quite frustrating to read too, that she's under the impression that she has to be these things, and I'm like throughout the time reading the book I'm like, you don't have to be those things. Even when you're like a lady or whatever, you don't have to conform to those things because your family, the rest of your family don't.
Yeah, but it's because, like, her like, need to be, for some reason, like, different from her family, but, it,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, in that sense, I'm like, yeah, I get it, like, it's hard, it's, you're trying to be more, like, less of your family, but also you are your family,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, her family sounds really interesting, though. I
super
do
fun.
Like... maybe I will pick up the book. I don't know. I don't have time. I don't want to commit to it.
Sure, that's fine.
I'll think about it.
Also, yeah.
What's our next? Yes?
I don't know, but Veronica Speedwell number 5, A Murderous Relation,
yeah.
comes out in 9 days.
Yeah, that's going to be our next book, right?
Okay, sure.
We agreed to this. And then we're going to have Dave Abbott spree for a few months.
Yes. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So our next book is A Murderous Relation by Deanna Rayburn.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah, okay, I'm excited.
Okay.
Visit us over at songkitalliance.com. Our Facebook and our Twitter are both at songkitalliance.
Our other Twitter, our main Twitter for this podcast, is Book Club Haters.
That's true. Mm-hmm. At Book Club Haters. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Please join us for next
Tell
time.
Your friends.
Bye.
Tell your friends. Bye.